The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, Jacob, Jordan Band. Appreciate it. Well, next week, we're going to begin a series called Moral Earthquakes. Our ground has been shaken of the past several weeks and months, and it's a good time to look and see what God has to say about values and some things that show morals in our lives. So we're going to spend a few weeks leading up to Easter on that. Easter will begin a series that strengthens our families, but today we're going to bring to a close Nehemiah. Bob Harrington. I asked some of my staff if they knew that name. No one on my staff knew the name Bob Harrington, so I don't expect you to know it either. But back in the 1970s and the 1980s, he was a very, very popular preacher in America. He even did guest appearances on television shows like Phil Donahue and Merv Griffin and The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Bob Harrington toured America with that famous atheist, Madeline Murray O'Hare, where they would debate the existence of God. One thing you may not know about Madeline Murray O'Hare is she knew the Bible. In fact, Bob Harrington would say, "She may know the Bible better than me, but I know the author." This guy was brilliant. I mean, he moved to seminary in New Orleans. And moving to seminary in New Orleans, he began a street ministry in the French Quarter. He had two tools, a little microphone and speaker, and his Bible. He'd go down into the French Quarter and he would preach the Word of God. Some guys got together and loaned him enough money that he opened this little dilapidated place, and it became the chapel on Bourbon Street in the heart of the French Quarter. And Bob Harrington became known as the chaplain of Bourbon Street. The mayor of New Orleans gave him that title. And he was effective in reaching some of the most unreachable people you can imagine. Bob Harrington himself says that one day the devil threw me a pass and I ran for defeat. He fell, and his fall was great. He became almost an inoperative alcoholic, hiding in a room down in the French Quarter that a bar had given him because they knew what he had done in the past. Bob Harrington fell, and it was a long fall. And it was a long time of a fall. I asked my staff another name. Did they know? Guy by the name of Rex Humbard. They didn't know that name either. But Rex Humbard was a preacher in Akron, Ohio. And God spoke to his heart, and Rex Humbard went to see Bob Harrington. He said when he entered into that little place, he almost gagged. Said it was stinky and he didn't know which stank worse, Bob Harrington or the place. Got Bob sobered up and he said, "Bob, this is not where you need to be." And Bob Harrington began to climb out of the hole. Now he never reached where he was, but he became a preacher. And he began to tell people out of his own failure the grace of God, how deep, how high, how long, how wide that grace was. Bob Harrington died about 2010. And while he started with a bang and fell a long ways, he finished well. Finished well. That's what Nehemiah talks to us about today. That somebody who serves God and then comes to a place of pride and arrogance and self-centeredness and stubbornness can rebuild, restore, and come back. Bob Harrington found his walls torn down, his gates were burned. He crashed in the French Quarter. He got on a side street and got put on the sideline, but he came out of it to rebuild his life. He got started right, built a team spirit. He let go without letting up. He overcame the obstacles. He never cut what he could untie, and he finished strong. That's the lesson of Nehemiah 6. You know, as you get to chapter 6 in Nehemiah, this is a long ways from chapter 1 when Nehemiah was in Persia, when Nehemiah first heard about the broken down walls and the burned gates of Jerusalem. This is a long ways from chapter 2 when he took that midnight ride and he saw all of the trash and everything that was burned and everything that had to be done. Chapter 6, we find Nehemiah on the back stretch. We find Nehemiah where he can see the finish line. In fact, in Nehemiah 6 verse 1, it tells us the walls were up. Now the job is not complete because the gates have not been hung, but the walls are up. He's in the last lap of the race. And what he is reminding us is that the rebuilders, those people who want to refurbish and reestablish, those people who are trying to make the best out of what has been, finish strong. And so he heads down this back stretch. His goal is in sight. The finish line is there. Mission accomplished. And Nehemiah 6:15 says the walls were completed. I think Bob Harrington would tell us that when you get to that place, you feel like you can see the finish line. That's the most dangerous time. The last lap can be the most dangerous time of rebuilding. Because the enemy becomes stronger and he appears more often and he offers you a final attempt to do something different so that you don't get across the finish line. And for Nehemiah, the enemy seeks to get him on a side street. That didn't work. And they tried to get him on the sideline. That didn't work. Because Nehemiah asked two questions. Two questions. Chapter 6, he asked two questions. When he's tempted to take the side street, he keeps focused and he asks, why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Verse 3 of chapter 6. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? And then, when he's tempted to sit on the sidelines, he keeps faithful. And he asks the second question, should a man like me run away? Those are two questions that'll serve you well. Those are two questions that every one of us have to ask if we're going to finish strong. It's not a matter of how long your race is. It's not even a matter of how difficult the race is. What is the key is how you finish. Nehemiah's goal is in sight. The walls are rebuilt. All that is left is to hang the gates. He's on the last leg. He's over all types of hills. He's crossed all kinds of valleys. You know, I look at Nehemiah, he's the original triathlete, man. He is doing it all. And he can see the finish line. And as he is running down the lane trying to reach the tape, there are two things that come after him. And they echo down through the centuries to you and me today. Two principles. Stay off the side street. Keep focused. And stay off the sideline, keep faithful. Those are the two things that I want to talk to you about this morning because it is never too late for a new beginning. Number one, stay off the side streets and keep focused. His old nemesis, his enemy, his opponent, Sanballat, and the deceitful friends of Sanballat hear that Nehemiah has rebuilt the wall and all that is left is to hang the gates. So they make another attempt to derail him. They go to him and they say, "Come, let us meet on the plain of Ono." They want Nehemiah to meet them halfway. They're trying to trick Nehemiah at his own game. He's been talking about the importance of conflict resolution. You shared that last week. The principles of conflict resolution. Now, Sanballat and Geshem are using that against him. He has given us this ability to see the principles of conflict resolution. Sanballat and Geshem come to him and say, "Listen, you've been talking about conflict resolution. Why don't you come down off of the wall and let's go meet on the plain of Ono and let's hammer some of this stuff out. We don't like you. You don't like us. We need to take some of these principles and we need to apply them and not just be something you talk about. Nehemiah, you need to do this." And Nehemiah is wise enough to see that this is not the time to give in, not the time to reach out. It's the time to stand up and finish the wall. You know, it happens in my life and it happens in your life. When our own wall, when the rebuilding is almost done, when we feel like we're just about finished, we're home free, that's when we're most tempted to let up, and then some Sanballat comes along enticing us to get down on a side street and come out to the plain of Ono. And they'll even use spiritual things to try to motivate you. And so Nehemiah responds with the first of his questions. "I'm carrying on a great project. I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" But they don't give up. The Bible says they persist. In fact, in Nehemiah 6, verse 4, it says, "Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer." Every time gave them the same answer, and he gave it to them in the same manner. He replies, he says, "I'm going to keep doing the great work, and I'm not going to come down." So the fifth time, they put it in a letter. You know, the fifth time, they put it in written word. It says in verse 6, "It is reported among the nations." And Geshem says it's true that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you, Nehemiah, you are about to become their king. Now let's just take a minute on that sentence and that verse. It is reported. We don't use that kind of formal English. You can read it, "they say." You know, they say, "they." Well, you know what they're saying? Who is they? I get this. I've had this in my ministry and church for as long as I've been a pastor. Well, you know what they're saying. You know what they say. What does that mean? It means he's about to start a rumor. About to start a rumor. And rumors have two distinguishing characteristics. They are nameless. You notice how the owner of a rumor is never named. Never named. They say. So the notice of a rumor is never quoted. The source of a rumor never quoted. Why? Because rumors are nameless. And they are also shameless. Why? Because rumors are exaggerated. Rumors are made bigger than they are. And they're exaggerating the rumor. They're saying Nehemiah wants to be the king of Judah. Why are they doing this? Because they're trying to get him to leave the building, to come down, and instead of working on the main project on the main road, they want him to take a side street that leads out to the plain of Ono. And Nehemiah says, I'm not going to do that. And he keeps off of the side street by staying focused. Probably most of us in this room have been the brunt of a rumor. And when you think about it, though you may have suspicions, you probably would have to say it was nameless and shameless. So what do I do with that rumor? What do I do with somebody that's trying to get me to drive down the side street instead of being on the main thoroughfare where the work is being done? Well, Nehemiah says, he says in verse 8 and 9, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. He deals with the rumor in two ways. Number one, he refutes it. He refutes it. And then number two, he refers it. All right, refute it. He says nothing like what you are saying is happening. He says a little bit later, you are just making it up out of your head. He just honestly says, hey, it's not true. And then he refers it. Who does he refer it to? To the Lord. He says, I just prayed and asked God to strengthen my hands. I think that's good advice for any of us who become the brunt of a rumor. Refute it, refer it to the Lord, and get on with what you're doing. That's how you stay off the side street. That's how you keep focused. Have you ever been down a side street? I have. My wife will tell you, I do it all the time. I work out in my mind what I think is going to be better. And sometimes what I thought was going to be a shortcut has added hours to the trip. Not to mention a lot of conversation along the way. Side streets. Side streets. You know, I had to go all the way over to Henderson on Friday. I had to go over to Henderson on Friday. I hate the spaghetti bowl right now. Well, I've hated it pretty much 31 out of the 32 years I've been pastor here. I even hated it when I learned to drive, because that was way back in the late 60s, and it was there then, and it's still a mess. So I take side streets. It doesn't work, folks. It just doesn't work. You know, go ahead and take your medicine and stay focused on what is the way. You know, if we're going to rebuild, if we're going to learn the lessons of reestablishing and restoring relationships and characteristics in our lives, we got to quit trying to take the shortcuts. You know, if you're in the process of rebuilding a relationship, I'll guarantee you some Sanballat or Tobiah or Geshem is going to come along and try to get you off onto the side street. Why are you even fooling with them? Why are you giving them the time of day? They'll try to get you off the main road of rebuilding. You're trying to establish a relationship, or maybe vocationally. You're trying to rebuild vocationally. And what do? We try to take the side street. No. Rebuilders finish strong. How do they finish strong? They stay off the side street and remain focused on what they are to do. Look what Nehemiah says. I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Notice he says, I'm doing a great work. I was thinking about this with kids. Some mothers and fathers do not see the raising of their children as great work. So they take a side street and they work extra hours and extra jobs, and the kids are left to fend for themselves while mom and dad are out on the plain of Ono doing what they think is a great work, and they've lost the focus. It's not just with kids, but it's in all areas of our life. You know, we've begun to rebuild and the walls are up and all we got to do is hang the gates. Maybe it's a marriage relationship. Maybe it's the rebuilding of your self-confidence. You know, and the walls are almost completed. And that's the most dangerous time of the rebuilding process. You know, I said to one of my friends who is at a place in his career, he's seeing what God's going to lead him to. And I gave him a statement that somebody gave me a long time ago, and I know it to be true. That right before God offers you his very best, the devil will offer you a really attractive alternative. I mean a really good alternative. In fact, sometimes if you look at what the devil offers you right before God shows you his best, it has more human appeal because you and I don't see the future. We don't know what God's going to do out there. Right before God offers you his very best in the rebuilding, the devil will offer you a fine, fine substitute. And sometimes we take that substitute and we shortcut rebuilding. But rebuilders finish strong because they know it's never too late for a new beginning. So stay off the side streets and stay at it. The second thing he says is stay off the sidelines and keep faithful. I hope your team won the Super Bowl. But I know one person that was on the sidelines that was not happy and said he could have changed the game. Let me tell you something. If you've ever played athletics, I played a little bit of baseball and played a lot of football. I tried to play basketball and they cut me from the team. Said, you play basketball like you play football, and that doesn't work. I had no finesse, I admit it. But in the sports that I played, I never wanted to sit on the sideline. If you love sports, you love the team. Now, you may know in your mind you need to do it for the team and what's best, but no athlete who loves the game wants to sit on the sideline. But that is exactly what the devil will do. He will call you to sit on the sideline. By the time Nehemiah gets to chapter 6, he has overcome all kinds of obstacles. Remember, we said he had opposition from without. Think of this in baseball terms. Opposition from without. Strike one. Opposition from within, strike two. Mary and I, this past fall, would go to our grandson's baseball games. And he's 9 years old. He had never played baseball, but he loved it. But he didn't know the rules, and he was afraid he was going to do something wrong. And if you do something wrong, they're probably going to put you on the bench. And he didn't want to be on the bench. So he'd stand up there, hold that bat. You know, this little kid, the bat looked as tall as him. And he's got this, looked like a bobblehead doll because he got this helmet on his head, you know, and all this stuff. And he'd watch the ball go by. And inevitably, these little kids, the ball's a strike. They just let it go. Because if they strike at it, miss it, they're embarrassed. And finally, I heard his dad say, "Don't get called out on strikes." In other words, swing at the ball. That was embarrassing, some of the balls he swung at after he heard that. I couldn't have reached them. But the principle was valid. Don't get called out on strikes. Nehemiah, opposition from without, strike one. Opposition from within, strike two. Sanballat, Tobiah throwing the ball, trying to strike him out three. He hits a home run. Look what Sanballat and Tobiah said. "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple." That's the third strike. Strike one, opposition without. Strike two, opposition within. Strike three, that he doesn't buy. "Let's meet together in the house of God within." How could I refuse? You come to me and say, you know, I got a problem. I'd like to meet you down at the sanctuary and let's talk and pray about it. Well, boy, there's some incentive there, isn't there? However, what you may not realize is if Nehemiah had done this, God would have put him on the sideline for the rest of his life. Why? Because he wanted to meet Nehemiah within the temple. He didn't say, Nehemiah, just let's go down to the temple. He said, let's go within the temple. He's talking about going into the holy place. It's what we hear of in the scripture as the holy of holies, the most holy place. If you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you see that Uzziah went into the temple. And he went into the holy place where only the priests were allowed to go. And Uzziah had been warned not to go into the holy place. And you remember the result when he came out of the temple? He was fortunate that he escaped with his life. But he lived as a leper because he contracted leprosy for doing what God's word said don't do. You see, this was an enticement by Sanballat and Tobiah, the pagans, to do what was contrary to the teaching of the word of God so that the judgment of God would come down upon Nehemiah and put him on the sidelines. What do we see in Nehemiah? We see in Nehemiah a man who loved God, who loved the word of God, lived his life under the direction of God. He knew what the Bible said. He knew not to go into the temple. And so he submitted to the word of God and to the God of the word. And once again, Nehemiah has a question. Should a man like me run away? Should a man like me run away? I know a lot of men and women who got started right. But when it came to the last lap, they got put on the sidelines because they tried to finish the job without staying faithful to God. Listen to Nehemiah. Should a man as me flee? We live in a day where we find a lot of fleeing people who simply run out of life and run out of their opportunities. Escapism takes so many forms. Rebuilding often is harder than escaping. And so sometimes we want to flee before we finish the job. The psalmist said this. He said, "Oh, that I have wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." Can you identify that? I wish I had the wings of a dove. I'd fly away and get away from all this. I've been there. You've been there. We've all felt that way. But guess what? You don't have wings. You can't fly away. You cannot run every time something doesn't go your way. You can't flee. You can't quit. Nehemiah, should such a man as I flee? You know, that's exactly what Jesus was getting at when he said over in the book of Luke, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." If you're about to quit today, if you're about to try to run away, you've worked so hard to build the wall, you've seen so much accomplished, and yet you've been tempted and you're ready to run, Nehemiah says two things. Stay off the side street, keep focused. And stay off the sideline and keep faithful. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 6:15, the wall was finished. That may be one of the greatest understatements in the book of Nehemiah. He had come to Jerusalem with a single objective, rebuild the walls. He began with the goal in his mind. He stayed off the side streets, kept focused, stayed off the sidelines, kept faithful. And you read, the wall was finished the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Nehemiah ran the race and finished the race. And the whole objective of this series, I don't know what you have started to rebuild. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you're rebuilding after divorce. It's not the end of the world. You know, one of the great graces of God is that He'll take any failure in our life and make good out of it. Make good out of it. You know, we want to pick one thing and make it the end of the world. No. You know, I was reading Jonah today. I'm still in the Old Testament in my devotions, and I was reading Jonah this morning. Yesterday I'd read about how he got thrown into the water. And today I read about how he prayed. Getting thrown into the water will make you pray. And he prayed. And he says, God heard my prayer. Jonah was rebuilding. I mean, he's starting to rebuild right there. I don't know what you're rebuilding. Maybe it's your spiritual life. Maybe it's self-confidence. What Nehemiah is saying, finish it. Don't flee. And what do we read when the walls are completed? It says, when all of our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. God did it. You pray, you trust Him, you climb the ladder, and when you get to the top, you remember God did it. I have such great admiration for some men and women in life who, you know, might have lost their focus and might have lost their faithfulness, but they rebuild. That's why Bob Harrington stirs my heart. He fell, and everybody knew he fell. But man, he came back. Got up, got in the race. You know, because of circumstances and situations, he fell. And honestly, Bob Harrington had a little bit of a limp from that point on because everybody wanted to look and say, well, aren't you the guy who fell? And I think Bob Harrington would say it's never too late for a new beginning. Never too late to get back in the race. It is never too late to stay off the side street and keep focused. It's never too late to stay off the sideline and keep faithful. Think about this for a moment. Do you know anybody that finished stronger than Jesus? He got started right. He built a team spirit, got these men around him. He let go without letting up. He sent them out two by two and said, you guys are going to have to learn to do this. If anybody knew that yards after contact was the most important thing, it was Jesus. Because they would knock him down and he would get up and keep going. And you don't ever find a place in the Bible where Jesus ever cut what he could untie. And when his own finish line was in sight, John 17:4, he says, I finished the work you gave me to do. Finished the work. The enemy tried to get him on the sideline. The devil takes him to a high mountain and says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll bow down to me. Then near the finish line, the enemy tries to get him on the side street. You know, come down off the cross if you're the Son of God. He could have called an army of angels to get him down off that cross. And you almost hear Jesus echoing the words of Nehemiah. On the cross. I'm doing a great work. I'm not coming down. And Jesus kept focused and kept faithful. And then he said, it is finished. He finished strong. Now, I don't know about you. I want to finish strong. I haven't always stayed off the side streets and kept focused. I haven't always stayed off the sidelines and kept faithful. But when I think about Jesus standing at the finish line with his arms wide open, and I think about the fact that he is more interested in my rebuilding than I am, that he believes in me, he's just asking me, do you? He says, Michael, I believe in you. Do you believe in me? Because we can get along this line together. Because it's never too late for a new beginning. But it is your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these moments right now, thank you for your word. And thank you for the confidence we have that it's never too late for a new beginning. And some of us need that new beginning to start today. Thank you that you can keep us focused and keep us faithful as we walk with you. And we'll trust you in Jesus' name. I want you to keep your head bowed for a moment. I have some friends that are right here. Do you need some help? Because we all need a team. If you need somebody that you can come to and say, listen, I need prayer. I need guidance. I need somebody to help me make sense out of this. Come and talk. If you want to continue this conversation, we're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to make you do something you don't want to do. We're not high pressure and hard sell. But if you want to know how to carry on what we're talking about, then come and talk with somebody now about prayer or about your...